The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Ryan Pills.
And Sidekick Larry.
In the house!
We got half the crew here hanging out tonight. We actually just got finished shooting a Tantrum Talks live episode that you should go back in time and check out when you get a chance. We talked about some social deduction versus deduction fun. We didn't get a chance to record our podcast on our normal Monday night because we had our first community game night that we've had in quite a while. Had a decent little turnout. Maybe it's our second one. Feels like it's hard to keep track of these days. The days travel strangely. But we did get to play some games with some folks. I know Sarah was excited about one that she was playing.
Yeah, I got Viscounts of the West Kingdom to the table. And got to teach this to three other gamers. I played it once with Will and then got it back to the table a few nights later. And this one is surprisingly good. Not surprisingly.
Why?
It's, I feel like it was...
It's just straight up good.
Yeah. I felt like it was actually a little bit easier than Paladins. Mm-hmm. It has a better flow of what you're doing on your turn as far as...
Better than Paladins? Uh-oh.
She said easier. And I think what she meant was Paladins has some complexities that don't necessarily, in my opinion, improve your game experience. They don't necessarily hurt it, but trying to keep track of all those pieces on your board and just... a little crazy. This one has a little more straightforward mechanics to it. Still tons of good choices. Still millions of ways to score points. I thoroughly enjoyed it and thought it was not only more streamlined, but in my opinion, better.
Yeah, I think Shem did a great job of adding a good player aid so you know exactly what you're doing on your turn. It's on the board. It has some interesting things. There's a little map that your Viscount moves around, and depending on, you just have three cards in your hand, and it's like a deck builder, but you have three cards that are always in play. So instead of like a deck builder where this is your hand and you're playing it, you play one card that goes to your board, and it sits out for three rounds, and that's what you have available to you is what's on your board, and the card that's the last one on your board cycles off and goes to your discard pile. And if there's things that are triggered, there's like Paladins and Architects, there are criminals. And if a certain thing happens on somebody's board and you have a criminal on your board, then there are consequences for it. So the criminals happen to be wild. So you're using icons on the cards. You have a starter deck of cards, then you're constantly gaining cards to your deck in this deck builder. But then if you end up with one of those criminals, it can really hurt you. But they're wild, so it's really nice to have. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on, but I felt like it was a little bit easier to jump into. And maybe that's because I've played all of his stuff.
Yeah, I felt like it was a nice mix of a couple different things. It's got the deck building aspect where you're adding cards to your deck, but you are playing them over the course of like three rounds, which is interesting. So there's plenty of pre-planning. Typically in a deck builder, you just get your six cards and whatever you can do with them, you do with them. But in this one, you're picking one to move on to the next, to the, you know, your next three rounds with, which is really interesting. I wouldn't necessarily call it a rondel, but the board that you're on, it's a worker placement game. You only have one worker, and he's working his way around this board multiple times. And so you have maybe two or three choices of what you're going to do on your next turn, but you can definitely see ahead down the road and say, okay, if I take this action this turn, then I know I have this card in my hand, so next time I'm going to be able to move three spaces and I'll be able to take that turn. So a lot of pre-planning, what you're going to do on future turns. Your interactions with each other are very limited. Like, you can't be on the same space, or you can be, and the only effect is that the other person gets to rearrange their cards if they want to. So it doesn't even hurt them to be in the same space as you. It doesn't hurt you any.
It doesn't hurt you, but it does help them a little bit.
And the only other player area where you interact is this really cool citadel thing in the middle of the board where you've got like three different levels of wall height that you are trying to get your, no, they're not called parishioners, but whatever they are, your meeples, your workers onto. And if you get three into a space, then you get to upgrade one to the next level. If other players' meeples are in the same space as you, you can bump them out. And so that seems like it would affect other players, but when you bump them, they get a couple coins or something, so it's not like you're seriously injuring them either. Melissa would like this game. She's smiling at me over there as nice. I'm describing it. It has all the good things. You'll have a good time with it.
I can't wait to try it out.
Yep, that's Viscounts from Viscounts of the West Kingdom. It's from Garphill Games and Renegade Game Studios.
Melissa and I have played a few games of Runestones from Queen Games. This is a end of 2019 release, but I don't think it really came to the United States until 2020. But I've played probably three or four times now.
Yeah, it's basically a deck building game, except the interesting thing is that with your cards, you can use them several ways. If you decide to use them as actions, you play two cards, and every card has a number on it. The higher valued card, the higher number, will be basically trashed at the end of your turn. You get to do the actions on both cards, but you're basically thinning your deck as you play your actions because you're getting rid of one card every time.
But it's a race game. The first person to 65 points basically ends the game. The game end is triggered. Usually the person that triggers the end is going to win. Although for some reason, I think Melissa won last night. I wonder if you cheated, though. I would think I woke up in the middle of the night thinking about this. Did you play cards? You did. You played cards and then took actions. Uh-oh, Melissa. Uh-oh.
No, you were dreaming.
No, you were dreaming. So on your turn, you're either going to get cards, you're either going to play your cards to get actions, or you're going to pay crystals to get an artifact. At the end of any of those turns, you can turn in your artifacts. But I'm pretty sure you played cards and took artifacts, Melissa.
Oops, I can neither confirm nor deny that.
She kept forgetting. I had to stop her. I think I just totally missed it that last turn.
Whoops.
Anyway, interesting because I enjoy race type games that I can sort of see the finish line. I usually do pretty well at those. So I usually was doing pretty well with figuring out how many cards I needed to get the crystals, to get the artifacts, to get the different points that you need. So, and the cool thing is, are there runestones?
Right. I was about to say, we haven't actually mentioned the runestones that the game is named after. When you turn in artifacts for points, you can collect a runestone, and you have four slots on your player board for these stones, and they each have a different power. And in the game, you're going to have eight different runestones, but you have one fewer than the number of players. So not everyone can get the exact same runestone. And these do things like let you use your cards if they're in either or, use both options. They're going to give you more buying power when you're getting cards. They're going to let you have a larger hand, lots of different things, get extra points. So part of the game is figuring out which runestones to go for in which order, and do you turn in fewer artifacts and get fewer points but get the runestone quicker, or do you wait and build up more artifacts to get more points but then you're not getting the runestones? So I thought that was an interesting decision to make.
And they have a couple expansions so that there's more variability or replayability in the number of what kinds of runestones are available. So you can definitely check those out as well. What else have you guys been playing?
Well, Katie and I, and now Larry, and
Sidekick Larry.
Yes, Sidekick Larry, to differentiate. We have been playing some Super Fantasy Brawl. Let me tell you, it is fun, but there are two ways to play, two players or four players where it's two teams of two. That is a much different game than the two-player game. Because the two-player game, you each field three champions, and you're trying to complete different challenges that are coming out while also trying to kill the opponent's players. When you kill an opponent's champion, they are removed from the game for just that round. But the next time that person has a turn, they come back out. So it's you don't actually get ahead by killing them. You just earn a point and possibly level up. When it's a four-player game, each of the two people on your team have two characters, two champions each. So you're adding only one per side. I mean, it goes from 3 versus 3 to 4 versus 4, but it just gets so crowded. And the game says 30 to 40 minutes. I have not seen it play that short, but it is very abrupt. Like, it takes a long time to get your first points, and then suddenly the game's over, and you're like, what happened?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Just going around, it's kind of like, it's not a deck builder, but it is a card game where you have different abilities that you can play, but you're kind of limited by the different color types of the cards. So you only can play one color of each card. So you kind of
the cards are specific to your champions, so you might hope that you get a hand that lets you do something with your ranger, but you only draw dwarf cards, which is what I had several times.
True, true. And I think Katie drew like a whole hand of yellow a couple of times, which you only have one yellow token to play, so you're kind of in trouble because you can't play all the cards. On the board, you can use your other tokens for generic moves and actions, but you really want to play as many of the cards as you can because those are more powerful.
Yeah, in the standard actions, there's only one of them. I think it's your red token that you can use to do one damage. Whereas with a card, you might be able to chain abilities together to do like 6 or something if you get it really good. So you definitely want to avoid the standard actions if possible. But sometimes that's all you're left with. So
yeah, at the end of the game, Ryan had to get away because he was about to die. So he ended up.
I think I did like 3 standard actions to just move 6 spaces to hide my character because I knew you were going to get 2 or 3 points, and then my character was like had 2 health, and they were going to die and give you a point to win.
Yeah, it's a balance between trying to kill the other people but still trying to do the action or complete the goal cards. Yeah. So,
and then you guys also played Cowboy Bebop. Who ended up winning that?
Jeremiah won that game. We were playing. It was me and him and a new guy to our game night on Monday nights. It was pretty fun. I had only played it once. They had not played it, so I was trying to teach them. Ryan came by and saved us a couple times.
Good job, Ryan.
Thank you. Because we were playing by the wrong rules. The will rules, I mean.
My rules for that game are super crazy because I've never played.
But Jeremiah won. He got us to go after the big guy, and we got stuck on the planet with a bigger boss, and he ran around and killed all the little guys.
Yeah, I think I saw that more than once where walking by, he'd be like, oh, yeah, you all should go over here, and then he'd secretly cash out on a separate planet.
Yeah, he definitely did that a couple times.
Shady. One of my goals for 2020 was to play all of my most anticipated board games of 2020.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Back in a different time, in a different age, I put out a video with my most anticipated board games, my top 10, and I was recently able to play one of them called Merchants of Dunhuang, and this is a rondel action selection style set collection game where you're moving a camel around this rondel, taking actions, taking up these good cards, like these goods, and you're trying to collect majorities of goods and also trying to get different kinds of goods in your hand as well. But every spot where the camel moves is a different power, and it really changes up the gameplay. I've really enjoyed playing it. I probably played this game probably 3, 4, 5 times now and really enjoyed every play because the characters change based on how you set them up in the game, not only where they're at, but they're also double-sided, so they have different character powers on either side. And I believe I have played all of my most anticipated games.
I was going to say, that's the question we really care about.
Already.
You made it.
Except one.
Oh, okay.
Which will probably not come out till 2021. I just asked the publisher about this. I was like, oh, if I can just get that one game, I'll have a mission accomplished. And he's like, it's probably not coming out till 2021. So
play War Chest instead.
No. So what I've decided is I've done the best I can for it. I probably will do a recap, a relook, a redo. I don't even know how you, like, what kind of video I would call it.
What is that called? When you reach your anticipated...
You check off your bucket list, yeah. Kevin.
Right. But then I'm going to do another video and say... reorder them based on how I really like them ranked. Because I rank them 10 to 1. Now I'm going to re-rank them based on how I really enjoy them.
So like from expectations to reality. Correct. Did they live up to your thoughts?
Some did and some did not.
Ooh. I want to go watch your list right now so I can guess which one is the 10th that didn't come out and then rank them based on the information I have. How many have I played? Just would you guess?
I would guess probably 4.
4? Oh,
but those are Kevin's most anticipated games. What are your?
You didn't do a video.
Yeah, I don't
next
remember.
Year Will needs to do his most anticipated.
Will's like,
games.
I don't even know what's coming right. out.
Did
till
we?
It's out.
Did I anticipate? We did do a Tantrum Talks. I remember on anticipating games for the year. I don't remember what those games were, but but we definitely have the record to prove it.
You definitely played Sonora.
Yes.
You played Mariposas.
Mm-hmm.
You've played.
I played that one at game night the other night.
Did you play Fort?
I did not, although that one looks pretty slick. Okay. I heard good things from you about it.
My city has been sitting on your shelf for a while, so I did give you the opportunity.
Guilt. Yes, yeah.
And I think all the other ones. Oh, Succulent? I don't know if you played that one. I don't know if you played it, but you guys might have
it. I saw it, for sure.
So,
sounds like a good list. I should probably go anticipate some games or something. One other game that we did get to play was my favorite, Don't Mess with Cthulhu. Was that your... Larry's played before.
No,
that was your first time. Okay, so had I hyped it too high? Tell me your experience.
It was pretty good.
I failed.
Only because we lost.
Oh, okay, that's true. It was a rough ending. Whew.
I know. It was an exciting ending.
It was. Jonah should be here to recount the tale.
It's true.
It was only a rough ending for you. Jonah was ecstatic.
He was.
Oh, he was jumping out of the room.
We had several new players joining us, which was great. It's always fun teaching new people. But it's always hard to anticipate like how people are going to react. So we played the game. During one round, literally, Ryan and I just went back and forth to each other 6 times in a row. I was like, I feel like I can trust Ryan. I can't trust anybody else at the table. I got your 2, got my 2. Good round. I thought I could trust Jonah, but I should not have.
That was your mistake.
That was the mistake.
It was a little rough that final round because it was a perfect storm.
It was.
He had Cthulhu, and we may or may not have trusted him, but I mean, we didn't know one way or the other. We had no suspicion. But the one
other
person that we absolutely were not going to pick, he was the only one who had an Elder Sign. So there's just no way we would have gotten it.
Right.
Because it would have broken all logic to pick him.
Right. He definitely proved numerous times throughout the course of the game that he was a cultist and we were not going to go to him and trust him. And Jonah just seemed so confident when he was like, I got it right here. We won the game. Come pick my card right here. Do it. Come on. Do it. Looking back, there was way too many do its.
Yeah. So Jonah was a cultist. Was the other player actually a cultist, or was he?
He was, and that was the perfect storm element.
So both cultists had the Elder Sign and the Cthulhu.
We were doomed.
Yes.
There was so little hope. We narrowed it down, made it through 4 rounds, knew pretty confidently who the cultists were, except for Jonah. We had no choice.
Yeah, because there ended up being 3 of them in that game,
right?
Instead of just the 2.
It was a rough ending. But yet still one of my favorite games. I think this might be a great moment to shift over to a shout out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Renegade Game Studios. They have a game coming to Kickstarter next week on September 15th, and that is Embarcadero. This is a game for 2 to 4 players, plays in about 60 to 90 minutes. It has some hand management, some building aspects, and you are basically building up San Francisco in 1850, where they had ships in the harbor that were abandoned, and they built buildings on top of these ships. This is a game that we're going to talk more about next week and have it in our Kickstarter connection, but just wanted to tell you to keep your eyes out for Embarcadero coming next week. Our other sponsor is Final Frontier Games, and they have a game coming this week to Kickstarter called Monsters on Board, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in our Kickstarter Conniption.
Let's jump into our news segment. Today in the news, we have a lot of different things to talk about, but I picked our top three different news articles, and Will is going to get to start us off because he's been just chomping at the bit.
Man, I wanted to sound all news professionally and be like, in the news today, but I can't control myself because today I'm talking about Masters of the Universe, Fields of Eternia. I have the power! Okay, so today we're looking at the newest one from Archon Studios, teaming up with Mattel to bring us the new Masters of the Universe He-Man board game. It's going to feature the art of Matt. What is his last name? He's a cool guy. It is, wait for it, internet. Shucks, I had it all ready to go, and now...
But his name's Matt, so
his name is Matt.
That's cool.
And he does fantastic art, and I can't find
artwork,
it.
You saw it.
Yeah. He has some, not Matt at all. Dave Wilkins, my in-law.
His other
person.
Name, his sidekick name is.
Yeah. Does Matt, some super Matt. Great looking, like 80s cartoon art, but has this great modern feel to it. So the artwork for the game is going to be fantastic. Obviously, there's going to be some cool miniatures. In the game, you'll be able to play as either the good guys, He-Man, She-Ra, or as the bad guys, Skeleton, Beast Man.
Skeletor.
Oh,
how did you? No.
We need to start over. Reading is hard. Master of the Universe, the board game will be released exclusively in Europe, which breaks my heart and means I'll be traveling there soon. And it'll be coming to Kickstarter towards the end of 2020. Keep an eye out for Masters of the Universe.
In other news, Eric Lang has announced that he is leaving his position at CMON and he is moving back into doing freelance game design. He made it very clear that he is very sad to leave CMON. He has thoroughly enjoyed working there, and you will see many of his games to come from their line, but he will be moving back into freelance. I know... As an artist, sometimes it is very difficult to be in a position where you are overseeing things and you lose a little bit of that freedom of creativity. So we'll be looking forward to some of his new stuff that he'll be putting out. He said he may use CMON again to publish his future stuff, but other publishers are now open to publish his new designs.
And in galactic news, we have Rio Grande announcing their new space civilization title, Beyond the Sun. Last year, Melissa and I played a space game from Matt Riddle and Ben Pinchback. Do you remember the name of that one, Melissa?
Oh, I don't remember. Putting me on the spot.
I am putting
here.
Her. What's that?
Stellar?
No, Stellar is another good one. That's at Renegade Game Studios one. Beyond the Sun is their Rio Grande's new space civilization title. And I'll get to the other one in just a second, but Melissa can look it up while I'm talking. But this one is actually has a tech tree to it. It's for 2 to 4 players, plays in about 1 to 2 hours, and it is from Rio Grande Games. Their other game that Melissa forgot about is called Beta Colony.
Oh, yes. What I don't understand.
Oh, it's another space game from Rio Grande.
Oh.
They're going through their other space games, so... Sorry, I lost her on that one.
Kevin completely lost me. The train was at a completely different station.
That's fine. I was trying to bring it home for you, but that's all right. Another space game. One of the things I do really like that Rio Grande is doing a lot better in are their box cover designs. Beta Colony was okay. Even their component quality was okay. But Beyond the Sun, they're doing much better in their illustrations. And it got the ooh from Will. So, yeah, it is pretty. Here you go, Ryan. There you go. Thank you. And Larry?
Wow.
There we go. Awesome. Everyone's got one. So you can check that out from Rio Grande Games. But now we're going to jump into our Kickstarter Conniption.
Kickstarter Conniption.
This episode will be talking about 3 games coming to Kickstarter the week of September 7th,
2020. Start us off, Kevin.
All right. We have 89 Visions launching Arcana Magica. This is for 2 to 4 players, plays in about 30 to 90 minutes. This is a card and dice game. It has poker cards, actually a number of sets of poker cards, where you're playing them from your hand to summon units and activating them to attack your opponents. And you're able to get those tokens and then actually roll dice to attack your opponents and attack their the other players' armies. There's beautiful artwork in the game, and there's actually a helper app that's done by the creators as well. If you need help with for player aids and things like that. But this game is has basically the deck building to it, the dice rolling, some drafting in it, and it is for 2 to 4 players from 89 Visions. Melissa.
Final Frontier Games is bringing Monsters on Board on September 9th. This is a dice rolling and dice drafting game where your monsters are trying to throw this monster mash called the Blue Moon Monster Mixer at Spook Manor. And so, of course, to throw a proper party, you'll need to get an awful lot of spook juice, which is distilled from human fear. And you're going to be having these monsters that are coming to the party, and they're going to be in fear mobiles that you're going to have to pick up throughout the town. And then there are miniatures of interesting looking monsters that are going to be moving through the town. And the game is played over 6 rounds, where you're going to draft dice monster lords that then are going to be in the fear mobiles. And there's point-to-point movement, set collection, and just it seems very thematic, at least in the way that it's described, with the monster party and the spook juice. The miniatures look like they're going to be fun and quirky. Think definitely funky monsters. Final Frontier Games has done a lot of great games and have had them on Kickstarter, so definitely take a look at Monsters on Board, coming September 9th.
And that one's illustrated by the Micho as well, correct? It seems like a slightly new variation on his style, which I really liked. It kind of looked like a mix between the Transylvania movies and the Micho, which was cool. So it was a good little mashup visual for you.
Spook Juice sounds cool. It sounds like something we need to come up with a version of for our annual Halloween party.
Hopefully it's not distilled from human fear, though.
But we can make it look like it is.
Maybe it's a monster.
I just got scary thinking about what that
maybe
would be.
Maybe it's like a monster energy drink.
Oh, okay. Maybe like ice cubes that are like skulls or something.
Shaped like human fingers.
So, anyway, that's Monsters on Board. Larry, what do you have?
Roos is coming to Kickstarter this week from publishers Hardy House Games. It is a 2 to 4 player game in about 45 to 75 minutes. It's a bluffing city building game. It takes place in Russia during, quote, the time of troubles. The king is dead and there is no heir to the throne. So everyone is a peasant in the game. And everyone.
Just like real life.
Yes, yes, yes. everyone is trying to work their way up the different classes to gain royalty and try to become the king. It is a secret identity game, but not like your normal secret identity where they hand out your identities. You actually just get to pick whichever identity you want to be.
What?
And try to build up your estate to become the king. Just don't get caught. The game ends when someone either buys their way to become the king or if someone gets 10 royal points. So if bluffing is your type of game, this may be for you, coming from Hardy Games or Hardy House Games, Roos, this week. Back to you, Kevin.
So even as we were talking and I was browsing the internets, which I probably shouldn't have been doing, but as I was doing that, I found another game.
Focus, Kevin.
That I was focusing. That is launching this week, September 10th. Nauvoo Games literally just announced they are launching their Kickstarter for the expansion to The Reckoners on September 10th called Steel Slayer. This is, like I said, an expansion to the game The Reckoners, which is a co-op board game where you're trying to basically take down the supervillain based off of the hit Brandon Sanderson series, Steelheart, the Steelheart series. Melissa and I have read through the series.
Yeah, it's the Reckoners series.
The Reckoners series. And Melissa has actually played the prototype of the base game.
Yes, it was back Gen Con a couple years ago before the base game went on to Kickstarter. So I have not played the actual produced game. But it's a, I believe, a dice rolling game. You have your own dice, and you are using the dice to perform different actions to try to defeat the different super villains.
Yeah, super villains.
And it's cooperative, so you're all trying to work together and figure out the best use of your dice to try to control the situation.
So if that sounds like something you're interested in, check out the expansion to The Reckoners, Steel Slayer, coming September 10th from Nauvoo Games.
So we sent out a survey just a little while back, and we haven't really talked about it too much. We've got some great responses from that.
Did we get responses?
We did, hundreds. What? Even. What's the word for that? Even true.
Even true.
Yay, verily.
Yay, verily.
Truly, truly.
But that's still available if you'd be interested in giving us some information. If you go to tantrumhouse.com/survey, we have just a couple questions there. I don't even remember how many it is. Less than 10, I think. And we are doing a giveaway, which we will be announcing during our 24-hour game-a-thon. So that'll be coming up in, what's the date for that? September? Is it like the... When you listen to this, it's this weekend?
No. The next week.
2 weeks. Okay, September, you have a little more time to prepare.
So we're fine. We can talk about the game-a-thon later. But we can talk about it now and later.
We'll do both. So get your energy drinks prepared now. I know we are. Because our 24-hour game-a-thon is coming up. But before you go get ready for that, do the survey. So we have a couple questions on there. We're just trying to kind of figure out, you know, what additions, changes should we make to the podcast? What are some of our live shows that are working well and what can be tweaked? And so we'd love to hear from you guys just to get your honest feedback on things.
How can people find the survey?
As I said moments ago, tantrumhouse.com/survey is where you want to go to take that. Fill that out. When you do, it'll ask you for your email address, and then we are going to be doing a drawing for a couple different board games. Maybe there's a t-shirt in there. I think there might even be a Tantrum House bag. So bunches of stuff. Thank you to everybody who has already filled it out. Don't fill it out again. Unless you have a separate email address, I guess you could.
I know that when I listen to podcasts, sometimes I like totally gloss over, so I was just helping those people.
That's right.
No.
Help find it. Yeah, because I don't think, there might be still a button at the top of our website as well, so if you just go to tantrumhouse.com, that's all you really got to do. You can find it from there. But we'll be collecting those surveys for just another week or two, and then during our 24-hour game-a-thon, we're going to announce the winners for that. We've been working hard putting together a pretty bang-up schedule for the 24-hour game-a-thon.
Some hot, hot games.
Kevin has been working hard on that, getting them all scheduled out so that we can have just enough buffer time between each game to...
I do pretty good at this. I've done our 8-hour, our 12-hour, so now comes the test. Can I do over 24 hours?
And can he hold us to the schedule? That's the real art.
When I go to bed, it's going to be hard.
Kevin's like... Got to win now or lose. Do it now. Do it now.
Exactly. You have 3 minutes. It's over. Oh, you win. Yeah, so we're going to be rotating in shifts doing that. We've got the equipment that we were waiting on, which is excellent, so that we don't have to change batteries every hour for 24 straight hours. And yeah, I think everybody on the crew is pretty excited about being able to sit down and just knock out some crazy gameplay.
Speaking of games that we're playing and videos, Super Fantasy Brawl that you heard about earlier, Lord willing, will be going live today as you're listening to this. So check that video out from Ryan Studio Awesome. And also, we'll be doing a live playthrough of Cascadia, which we'll be talking about soon as well on our podcast. But you can watch a live play of Cascadia board game from Flat Out Games sometime Monday afternoon. So September 7th, check that out, Labor Day.
That's right. That should be a lot of fun. That might be time traveling, is that when this comes out? Yeah. So have a happy Labor Day, everybody. Hope you all are enjoying and having lots of fun. We hope to have some updates for you guys very soon on Tantrum Con. We are negotiating with hotels to see what flexible date ranges we can get. We hope to be able to have some information to you all very soon, so stay tuned for that. But enjoy the rest of your Labor Day, and we will catch you guys in the very near future. Hopefully, if not before our 24-hour game-a-thon, tune in and have some fun live with that event. All right, we're going to call it there. See you guys later.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.